SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Prado. I'm Scott Jackson, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio and hit us up on Facebook. Like us, and then you can make comments about how hideous we are. All right, our pleasure right now to bring in from Masson Sports, he is Byron Kerr with us here on SB Nation Radio. How you doing, Byron?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you again.
Hey, good to talk to you, too. Of course, boy, the Nats just wrapped up a series with the Phillies at Nats Town, and you see, you know, an improved Nationals team this year, Byron. You're seeing them up close. The pitching's been really solid at this point, but it also shows the biggest challenge probably for this Nationals organization, really everybody else in this division, which is you could be at your best, but the Phillies are just so darn good with Holiday and Cliff Lee. When they run those guys out, it's going to be tough to beat them no matter what.
No, that's definitely true, Scott. I mean, they were pretty happy, obviously, early in the series. They got to Joe Blanton. They won that first game. And even afterwards, Jason Wirth admitted that if we were going to get any of these, this is the one we were going to get. So now let's go try to get either Holiday or Lee. Obviously, they wanted to take the series. And so to have, you know, what happened just shows where they are right now. Now, the bottom line is they are much better than they were the last couple of years against the Phillies. You know, you look back to 07, and the Phillies have a 51-21 record against the Nationals. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, they're losing games 13-4, 11-3. You know, they battled back against Holiday. They were down 3-0. They made it 3-2. They lost 4-0 in the finale when Cliff Lee was just outstanding. They weren't getting blown out, you know, but moral victories, you know, are still losses, you know, and it doesn't matter in that case. But they are making some progress. However, it is obvious, as you just said, what they have to do to be, you know, a difference maker. Look at the play of Carlos Ruiz. I mean, he had a home run. He threw out a guy at second. He blocked the plate. They made some big plays defensively that really changed the game. And the Nationals, Scott and Mike, in the last two games, made 4 errors.
Big errors, too.
Huge errors in this series. And if they had maybe not done that, if they had been crisper at short and second, where they have a couple of young guys, you know, maybe at the end of the game it would have been 1-0 or 2-0, and they would have had a chance to put a couple of runs on the board.
Now, the saving grace, I guess, with the series loss is that Ryan Zimmerman is not in the lineup due to injury, and obviously he would have made a big difference. How big of a loss is Zimmerman at this stage of the year, given how barren the lineup is with offensive talent?
Yeah, it's just gigantic, Mike. I mean, not having the guy, the Silver Slugger, the all-star, the team leader out there at third, not only making plays defensively, you wonder if he would have gotten that ball to first or eaten it when Jerry Harrison threw it past LaRoche. If that would have made a difference, I think, yes, it would have. And not having him around in the middle of that lineup, you know, it already is kind of a weakness if you have Jason Wirth batting second anyway. Not to have Ryan Zimmerman in there, now they have to push everybody back down a slot. And they just, you know, Adam LaRoche is not going to give you the power that Adam Dunn would give you. Ryan Zimmerman has some power. He's going to get on base, which is going to help everybody else out to get something going. And without him out there, it's just a huge difference. The fact that they, you know, even got one game, you look at it from that standpoint, you're like, wow, that's pretty good. But without him for an extended period of time, it's going to be very difficult for them to beat teams like the Phillies without Ryan Zimmerman.
We're here with Byron Kerr from Masson Sports with us here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson and Mike Prado here on 106.7 The Fan. Now, I know it is ultra early in the season, and you don't want to get too caught up in things, but, you know, you mentioned the defense. It was supposed to be better this year. They expected to be better. For whatever reason, Jordan Zimmerman's been the recipient of some of the shaky defense, unfortunately. Every time he's in the mound, these things seem to creep up. What do you think the level of concern is right now for Jim Riggleman and company with these breakdowns that they've had? And for a team that, as we all know, has a smaller margin for error.
Yeah, he is not going to go public and say, you know, I'm upset with Ian Desmond's defense. He's backing him up 100% because he's such a young player that he doesn't want to mess with his psyche this early. But that definitely is something that they have to tighten up. Their decision-making has to be better. If it means eating a throw and not throwing it, holding on to the ball, these guys are going to have to do it. I love Danny Espinosa. I don't care if he made an error. He's just been so aggressive in second. I really love what I've seen from him defensively. And, you know, outfield's been pretty good. They haven't had many chances. But you're right about Jordan Zimmerman. I mean, he went 15 outs straight up, first to 5 innings, perfect baseball. You know, not a lot of people are going to talk about that because Cliff Lee is just Cliff Lee, and they lost 4-0. But, man, I'm very impressed with Jordan Zimmermann and what I've seen in the first two outings. And I think that's something they can really hang their hat on. But the defense, if you're going to be like the Phillies, you got to make plays like Carlos Ruiz did, like Jimmy Rollins did throwing home. And you cannot bobble the baseball. You cannot have indecision at second base. They have to get tighter on defense if they're going to be an upper echelon squad.
Let's talk about Zimmermann, because I asked about one Zimmermann. Let's ask about the other one. What have you seen from him that makes you feel so optimistic?
His slider was so outstanding last night, Mike. The only slider he hung was, unfortunately, the Carlos Ruiz solo shot. And that was, unfortunately, because Cliff Lee was so good, the difference in the game. But, you know, most times you would look at an outing that he had where he gives up just three earned runs as outstanding. And his changeup is getting better, as I've talked to you guys about before. It's something he's worked on for a long time to try to get the changeup to be perfect, about 10 miles per hour less than the fastball. His fastball, 95-96, very impressive. He's locating well. He's keeping the ball down. A lot of ground balls. We're talking about the infield getting a lot of play last night, a lot of ground balls, which is what you want to see from him. So I hope he didn't get down on himself too much after last night's outing, Thursday's outing, because I thought he did a great job.
We're here with Masson Sports. It's Byron Kerr with us here on 106.7 The Fan. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson and Mike Prey with you. All right, one more thing on the defense before we move on to Bryce Harper and the excitement that's going on up there in Hagerstown. There was a piece in Sports Illustrated at the beginning of the season mentioning this, and I know this has been talked about and probably grappled about throughout the organization, but Danny Espinosa, former shortstop, obviously in Desmond's a shortstop, the idea of maybe it should be the other way around. Is there any thought about that? And do you think these guys, are they completely married to, you know, Espinosa at second and Desmond at short for the long run?
That's a great question. You hear a lot about that talk, and Espinosa is a natural shortstop and probably better at shortstop than Ian Desmond. Ian Desmond, you know, with the kind of the grandfather clause, you know, got to the majors before he did.
Right.
So it's almost like they're giving him the right to first refusal there at short. They like the athletic ability of both players, and I think, you know, I haven't heard anything from Jim Riggleman or Mike Rizzo to say that they're thinking about switching these guys. So I think it's going to stay like it is unless Desmond just starts going on an error tear like he did it last year, because Espinosa, I mean, he gets to every ball. The only one he made a mistake on was the Cliff Lee grounder because he wanted to make a quick throw, but he got to a lot of other balls that no one else would have gotten to. He got some double plays in this series that no one else would have gotten to. He's got great range. He just seems to make, you know, he's one of those players you love to watch because he seems to make the right play, a smart baseball play. And his decision-making is so quick that he makes it and moves on. He doesn't. There's no hesitation, which is what you love to see. But I don't see them moving or changing shortstop or second. What I'd love to see, though, is put Espinosa as the leadoff hitter right now, because Ian Desmond is having a lot of difficulty making contact, and you have to have a leadoff hitter who's going to make contact. Espinosa makes contact, gets on base. Maybe Desmond, you know, he's not saying it publicly, but maybe the pressure of being the leadoff guy is just too much right now. He's trying to be the shortstop. It's only his second year. He's trying to be the leadoff guy. He's not a natural leadoff guy. That's what I want to see. Put Desmond down at 7 or 8 and get Espinosa up there. Then you're going to create some offense.
I agree with you there. I think it's something that they should try. But let's move on to Bryce Harper. Obviously, he hit his first career professional home run this week for Hagerstown. I had to make sure I qualified that as much as possible because I'm kind of excited. But, you know, what have you seen from him besides that indicates that there are good things ahead? What challenges might still be ahead for him?
Yeah, he had two hits in his first game, April 7th, and then he got a couple hits later. And then finally, what I've heard when Twitter blew up after he hit the home run was 480-foot home run, line drive, is what I've heard from the people that were there, and the way he trotted around the bases as if, you know, he'd been there, done that so many times, kind of caught everybody. And what I'm getting the feel from the team spokesperson is that you know, he's handling the pressure very well, and he's acting like a professional. So that's a good sign from him. You know, obviously everything you hear from the hitting coaches all the way up and down who are with him in spring training, who I've interviewed, have said, you know, this guy he looks like a man, you know, in an 18-year-old body. He's just got all the specs you want physically as the baseball player. He can pretty much do it all. And, you know, he's got the hitting down. They just want him to man the right field area for a while and get to used to being a professional, get to used to those road trips, get used to the day-in, day-out grind of 140 games to get things going. It'll be interesting to see how he does in Hagerstown. You know, this weekend is the first time he'll be at home, and the home fans will be able to see him. But, I mean, so far so good. I haven't heard anything negative about what he's been doing, and to get that first home run obviously has to be big for him, and the way he acted, I mean, that sounds like Bryce Harper to me. So
yeah, no doubt. He definitely acts like he belongs. Hey, final thing for you, Byron. Do you feel like they are completely sold on him as a right fielder for sure? Because, I mean, he's very versatile. Obviously, he was a catcher. They don't want to do that to him because they want to have more years with him. I mean, some have said he could play first. He could play really any of the outfield positions. Do you think it's still a work in progress as to where he'll ultimately end up when he's with the big league club?
I think it's definitely going to be the outfield, Scott. They love his arm. You know, he's got a cannon of an arm, too, as I've told you before. He likes to throw behind the runners at first, but they also want to control him a little bit, too, and maybe not try some of those questionable plays all the time, try to be the superhero out there. But he's got a gun. I mean, I remember talking to Tim Chambers, his college coach, about some of the plays he made in the outfield at the College of Southern Nevada, where he'd get not only get the wows for the home runs, but also the gun he has in an arm. So I think they're trying to, you know, teach him how to control that power from the outfield, and I think that there's three shots for him to make the major leagues in the outfield versus the catching position. As you said, it will take a while. First base will take a while, and I think they would love to see him roam in the outfield. Are they married to it just being right field? I don't think so. I think he could play pretty much any position out there. He's that talented.
Well, that's great to hear. Well, Byron, appreciate it. Good catching up with you as always. And, again, check out Byron on massinsports.com. You hear him right here on 106.7, The Fan as well. And enjoy your Nats coverage. And thanks again for joining us on SB Nation Radio.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, Twitter also, bkerr32 as well. And we'll see you guys at the ballpark.
All right, sounds good. There you go, Byron Kerr with us here on SB Nation Radio. Got lots of people to thank for this week's show, including Michael Lee talking Wizards from the Washington Post, and you, Mike Prater. Thank you as well.
Well, thank you, Scott.
No problem. And remind people to go to SB Nation DC. Check it out. A lot of good stuff there every day for all your DC sports needs. And thanks to Sean Zobel for joining us talking Redskins, and his website, once again, is draftheadquarters.com. For Othello for producing, I'm Scott Jackson for Mike Prater here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan.